Yeshaya Perek Yud Zayin. Masad Amosek. We finished, we had Nevuahs about Bovel, and we had about Moav. And now the Novi starts with Amosek, with Damascus, Syria, up north of Eretz Yisrael. And we'll see that it very rapidly shifts to talk about the 10 tribes. But Masad Amosek, a prophecy concerning Damascus. Hine Damesek Musar Meir. The point will come that Damascus will be removed from being a city, will be negated from being a city. V'hoysa mi'i ma'pala. And it'll be a heap of rubble. It won't be a city anymore. It'll be destroyed. It'll be rubble. Azuvos ore Aroer. The cities of Aroer will be deserted. La dorim tiyena, they'll be for flocks of sheep. Virovtsu, and the animals will lie down. Vein machrid, and nobody will disturb those animals. They'll be tranquil, and there won't be any people there. The cities will be abandoned. On the question that the Mefarshim deal with is Aroer, Azuvos ore Aroer. The cities of Aroer are deserted. The problem is Aroer is not mentioned as a city connected with Damascus. At that point there was the kingdom of Aram. The Arameans were the nation that lived in that had Damascus as their capital. But the Arameans, the Aramim, Aram, did not have a city Aroer. Aroer is mentioned in the end of Parshas Matos, before we crossed into Eretz Yisrael. And the tribes of Gad and Menashe, Reuven, Gad, and Menashe, wanted to settle in the other side of the Yarden. And it says, Vayivnu b'nei Gad, the people of Gad built up, as Divon, they built up, and it mentions a number of cities they built, Vayivnu b'nei Gad, as Divon ves Atoros ve'es Aroer. In Bamidbar, Perek, Lamed Beis, Pasuk, Lamed Dalid. The people in God built up the city of Aroer. So what are we saying here? Azuvos Ore Aroer, the cities of Aroer are deserted. The Targum learns over here Aroer is not a noun and it's not a name of a place. The Targum says, Shevikan Kirveon Charovu. Their destroyed cities have been deserted. Aroer can mean destroyed. Oru, oru, ara yisodba. We know the enemy said about Yerushalayim, it should be totally destroyed. Oru can be vanochi holech ariri. Rashi brings a pshad. Ariri is a term of destruction. Azuvos, ore, aroer, the cities that are destroyed from Damascus have been deserted. As we've mentioned, hine Damesek musar meir, Damesek will be negated from being a city, v'hoisim Apollo, be a heap of rubble, and here too, these destroyed cities around Damascus, those cities will be deserted. That's one explanation. Rashi brings a medrash, and Rashi says, Omei b'damesek u'machriz ba'aroer. We're talking here, we just started Masa Damasek, a nevuah about Damascus, and then you're telling me a city of Aroer that was controlled by the Bnei Yisrael, that was part of the 10 tribes that God built up, that city of Aroer is going to be destroyed, deserted. El Shahayu b'Damesek Shivokim Kemini Nimos Hachama. Rashi says in Damesek there were different marketplaces. It was a large metropolis, and they had the number of marketplaces like the days in the solar year, 365 different marketplaces. V'chol achas yeshba avodas of akum. Each one of them had their own avodah zara, their own worship of whatever stars and constellations and idols. Each one had their own deity that they worshipped. V'ovdim l'yom echad b'shana. And every day of the year was a different day. They celebrated this idol and that religion and another deity. Every day had a special celebration for a different one of these idols. V'Yisrael osu es kulam. But Yisrael, at this point in history, Yisrael had done all of these idols, kibbutz echad, and they did it in one gathering, and they worshipped all of these different avodah zarahs in one day. Every day they worshipped everything. It was almost as if they gathered all of the terrible things that the goyim did over the span of the year, and they did every day they had these avodah zarahs. Lekach hizkir mapelas aroer etzel damesek. Therefore, when we're talking here about Damascus, when we just mention its destruction, Hinei Damesek Musar Meir, the Navi immediately mentions, but the 10 tribes, Aseres HaShvatim, it was such a rampant Avodah Zarah, that when we're mentioning the destruction of Damascus, we have to mention Azuvos Ore Aroer, the cities of Aroer will be abandoned, will be deserted, because they're also going to be, they're mentioned together, because they were even worse. They took all the bad of the non-Jews of their northern neighbors. They took all of the wrong actions, and they worshipped all of them in one day. But then Rashi says, "Vanim afarshel lefi pshat hamikra." Rashi says the pshat pshat, the way he would understand the pasuk. Aroer is a city that's part of Eretz Yisrael, and we're talking about Damascus. But as we learned at the beginning of Yeshaya, the first of the few prokim, there was an alliance between Ritzin, who at that point was the king in Aram, and Pekach ben Romaliyahu, who was the king over the Aseres HaShvatim, the 10 tribes. They had an alliance. And the two of them together were against Yehuda, were against their southern neighbor, Malchus Yehuda. And the Novi Yeshaya had discussed how they're don't be afraid of them, that nothing will come of it. They won't be able to conquer Yerushalayim. You don't have to be afraid of them. If anything, the problem will be Sancheiriv, and even Sancheiriv won't destroy Yerushalayim. But don't worry about the alliance between Aram and the Melech Yisrael. The simple meaning of the Pasuk is, Masa Damosek. We're saying a Nevuah about Damascus. And Damascus is no longer going to be a city. It's going to be a pile of rubble. But there's an alliance here. They work together with the Melech Yisrael, with the king of Israel, against the king of Yehuda. So at the same point we mention Azuvos, Ore Aroer, the cities of Aroer will be deserted, La Darim Tiena, they'll be for the flocks, Verovtsu, and those animals will lie down, Ve'in Macharid, and nobody will disturb them. And it'll be pasture land. The northern kingdom will also be exiled and it'll be destroyed. There's an interesting Gemara. I'm not sure the exact meaning of it. But the Gemara compares, in Brachos, the destruction of Bavel and the destruction of the 10 tribes, Shomron. In Brachos, on Daf Nun Ches Amid Aleph, the Gemara says as follows. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar, Niskalala Bavel, when Bavel was cursed, Niskalalu Shecheineha, her neighbors were cursed. Niskalala Shomron, but when you find that the north of Eretz Yisrael was cursed, Nisporchu Shecheineha, the neighbors were blessed. Niskalala Bavel, when Bavel was cursed, Niskalalu Shecheineha, the neighbors were cursed. The Gemara explains, Dichsiv, the Pasuk says, Visamtiha, I will place Bavel, Lemorash Kipod, it will be taken over by Kipod, wild birds, Vaagme Moyim, there'll be pools of water, and it'll become a wild habitat. This we had in Yeshaya, Perek Yudalad. Niskalala Shomron, when the north of Eretz Yisrael was cursed, Nisporchu Shecheinah, the neighbors were blessed. Dichsiv, this is a pasuk in Micha, Besamti Shomron Le'i Hasada, I'll place Shomron as piles of dirt that is like a field has piles, even as it's plowed, you have furrows and trenches. I'll make Shomron Le'i Hasada as a field, L'matoi Karem, a place where they plant vineyards, and it won't be a city, it won't be inhabited by people, it'll just be for crops. Here we're actually dealing with the Eber HaYarden. Aroer is on the other side of the Yarden, The Gemara is dealing with Bavel and Shomron. Here we're dealing with Damesek and Aroer, which was the other side of the Yarden. But it seems to be a similar concept, that somehow when the Goyim are punished, Damesek remains a pile of rubble. It's Musar Meir. It's no longer a city. It's not a civilization. It's not on the map. It's not a city, the Novi says. V'hoysa mi'ima pala, and it'll be a pile of rubble. This nevuah came true at when Sancheiriv destroyed Damesek. But so the neighbors had to put up with a ruins, a pile of rubble. Anybody who's had an empty lot next to them, an abandoned house, knows that it's an eyesore, and you have other problems from having a deserted property. So here, those neighbors of Damesek had a pile of rubble, a mi'ima pala. Those neighbors, though, of Aroer actually gained. It was no longer settled by the Jews. The Jews were exiled, and it became a pasture land, a place for their flocks. As the Gemara mentioned, brings the pasuk, Shomron was used for vineyards. Rashi makes the comment, Niskala Bavel Niskalu Shecheineha. When Bavel's cursed, the neighbors are cursed. Rashi says, Kolomar Oyle Rasha Oyle Shecheino. Woe is to the Rasha, and woe is to the neighbor. Those who are neighbor of the Rasha suffer also. I'm just not sure, because the Jewish areas and territories that were going to be destroyed, also at that point they were Rishoyim. So I'm not sure exactly. On one point we seem to say that they're even more involved with idolatry than their non-Jewish neighbors. But somehow that curse, it seems that the Jews are still the blessing for the world when they're good, and even if they're not good, in different ways. Either they're the leader of civilization, or at worst, their land is pasture land and the animals can graze there. So Azubos Ore Aroer, the cities of Aroer are deserted. Ladorim Tiyena, it'll be for the flocks, for Rov Tzuvain Macharid, the animals will lie down and nobody will disturb them. V'nishpas Mivtzar Me Ephraim. The stronghold will cease from Ephraim. Ephraim is the general term used for the 10 tribes. Umamlochami Damesek, and there'll no longer be a monarchy in Damesek. Again, the simple meaning, like Rashi says, is they are allies, and the two work together, and Ephraim will no longer have their strength. Damesek will be likewise ceased. There won't be any monarchy anymore. And it could be the strength of Ephraim was the fact that their neighbor Damesek was such a power. So, V'nishbas Mivtzar Me Ephraim, when Damesek is destroyed, Ephraim will no longer have their strength. Ushar Aram, and the rest of Aram, Kichvod B'nai Yisrael Yiyu. They will be like the honor of the B'nai Yisrael, which at this point is very weak, and there's not too much honor. They're being exiled, and they're honor is lowered, and the rest of Aram will have the honor like the B'nai Yisrael had. Ushar Aram kichvod B'nai Yisrael yiyu nu'um Hashem Tzvokos. So says Hashem Tzvokos. Tzvokos means the Lord of hosts, that Hashem controls everything, especially when there's a punishment like an army. Some of Farshim say that's why this term is used, that the point of destruction, this is Hashem Tzvokos, who controls the world. And this is the prophecy. The truth is the trup. The Malbim notes, there's an esnachta, which is a break under the word Aram. So he translates, V'nishpas mivtzar me'Ephraim, the stronghold will cease from Ephraim. Umamlachami Damesek ushar Aram. And that's where the stop is. There won't be a monarchy in Damesek, and there won't be a monarchy in the rest of Aram. There won't be any monarchy there. Kichvod B'nai Yisrael Yiyu, like the honor of B'nai Yisrael, which was previously exiled, so too they will be. Nu'um Hashem Tzvokos, Hashem says. V'hoya b'yom ahu, it shall be on that day, Yidal Kvod Yaakov, the honor of Yaakov will diminish. It could be the honor of Yaakov here means their wealth. U'mishman b'soro yeroze, and the fatness of his flesh will grow lean, will become scrawny. and lean. The Targum learns, Yidal Kvod Yaakov, the honor of Yaakov, will be diminished, and Mishman Besoro Yeroza, they'll no longer have their wealth. V'oser Yekore Yigle, and the wealthness of their honor will be exiled, and they won't have the tremendous wealth, they won't have the abundance, they'll become lean. Yidal Kvod Yaakov, the Malbim learns, they won't have their wealth, Mishman Besoro Yeroza, and their people, there will no longer be a multitude of people, but the country will be emptied out and they'll be exiled. And it will be that as the harvester gathers the katsir, the kama is the standing grain, and he's gathering the grain, so he grabs a handful, uzro, and then with his other arm, shiboim yiksar, he cuts the ears of grain, so too the enemy will come. And he cuts through, and he'll destroy those that are there. And he'll be like the one who gathers the shibolim, the fallen ears of grain, be'emek refoim, in the valley of refoim. When somebody cuts the crops, Rashi says he does. He gathers the grain in one hand, and with the other hand he cuts it. And so too Sancheiriv will cut down all of Damesek, and he's going to cut down the Aroer and the northern kingdom of Israel. So too, Sancheiriv is going to do this destruction. The Malbim explains, we had earlier that Sancheiriv came, and he came a number of times. He came three times, and he exiled part of the country and then another part of the country. He did Reuven and Gad was exiled. There was a separate, those Naphtali that lived near the Kinneret were exiled, and then later on he exiled the whole northern kingdom, and he destroyed Yehuda, and until his army was destroyed outside of Yerushalayim. But it was done in stages. In fact, in Yeshaya Perek Aleph, we had a pasuk, the way the Malbim explained it over there. This is the Haftorah that we lay on Chazon, right before Tisha B'Av. And the Novi says in Yeshaya Aleph, Perek Ches, the Nosra Vas Tzion, the daughter of Tzion, meaning Yerushalayim, will remain Kisuka Becharem, like a hut in a vineyard, Kimaluna, like a dwelling place, Bemiksha, among the cucumber field, Kier Nitzura, like a city that's under siege. And the Malbim explains over there that the first time the enemy comes, Venostra Bastion, these are three different stages. Bastion will remain Kisuka Becharem, like a hut, like a sukkah in the vineyard. If somebody has a vineyard, he has to watch it day and night. During the day, the birds and the animals can come in and they'll eat the grapes. At night, you have thieves jump over the wall and they try to cut and harvest whatever they can do under the cover of darkness. So you have a sukkah, a little hut with a watchman, and he's Bekarim in the vineyard, and he keeps an eye day and night. If you have a cucumber field, you don't have to watch it 24 hours around the clock. Because during the day, the cucumbers are hard, and I guess they're still growing, they're not fully ripe, but cucumbers are hard, and the birds don't peck them, and the animals sort of leave them alone. You don't find as many insects attacking your cucumbers. But at night you have to worry that at night, and during the day also people don't want to be seen, so usually the robbers come at night. So that's Kimaluna Bemiksha, like the guy who stays overnight in that cucumber field. And then there's the Kier Netzura, like a city that's under siege, where people, nobody's around, everyone tries to get out of the city, and nobody, it's an abandoned, it's about to be captured, and everyone tries to get out of there and is not seen. So too, Bas Tzion, Yerushalayim, the first stage was Kisuka Becharim. They were like the hut in the vineyard, where you only saw people, there were only a few people, it wasn't the large crowds that used to come to Yerushalayim were no longer coming, there were just a few people. And then Kimluna B'miksha, the next stage was like the guard in the cucumber field, where during the day you didn't see the people in Yerushalayim, they were hiding in caves. They didn't want the enemy to notice where they were. And at night they would come out and they would, at night they'd be around. But during the day, it was like an abandoned city. Kir Netzura, and like the city under siege, where it's about to be captured and it's nobody's seen, there's even less of a presence. Here too, V'hoya Kesov Kotzir Kama. Like somebody who gathers, the harvest is gathered with Kama, the standing grain, where when there's a field of standing grain, there's of course one stalk next to the other. It's a field that has to be slowly and carefully harvested, but there's a lot of grain, and here there's a lot of people. Sancheiriv is going to come the first time, and the country will be full of people, and he'll be like gathering Kotzir, the harvest, come of the standing grain. Later on, he'll come back again, and he'll do another conquest. Uzro Shibolim Yiksar. With his arm, he'll cut the Shibolim, the ears of grain, that it won't be a Kama like one next to the other. But there'll be a little grain here and a little grain somewhere else at a distance. There'll be less people, it'll be more sparsely populated. But he'll come back again, and he'll exile and destroy those. Uzro Shibolim Yiksar. With his arm, he'll cut the Shibolim, the isolated, the single ears of grain. And the third step is V'hoya Kimalake Shibolim. He'll be like somebody who's gathering the ears of grain. Be'emek Refoim. After the harvest, there's the leket. There's a few grains that fall to the ground. It's sort of the last of the last, what's left lying on the ground. He'll be that, like the Malake Shibolim, like the one who gathers those Shibolim. Be'emek Refoim. In the Valley of Refoim. The Valley of Refoim was near Yerushalayim. And Sancheiriv will mop up and will destroy Aram and Damesek and the Avra Yarding and the northern kingdom on his way to conquering the world. And then he'll come to Emek Rephaim and he'll gather those last there in this valley outside Yerushalayim. And that will be the last stop of Sancheiriv. As we've learned, that's when he's destroyed. That's when Sancheiriv meets his destruction. Venisha bo olelos. But it will remain, there'll be a few, there'll be olelos, there'll be only gleamings. There'll be a little bit, olelos is usually the, when you don't have a full cluster of grapes, the olelos are the single grapes that aren't fully developed as a whole cluster, you have a few remaining. Kinokev zayis, like when you bang on an olive tree and you want to shake down the olives to pick them. And you have a few that remain. Shnayim shlosha, two or three gargarim, like single olives, barosh amir, on the top of the highest branch. Arba chamisha, you could have four or five of these olives. BC feha poriya, and they're on the flourishing boughs of the tree that were flourishing. They were poriya, used to be full of olives, and now you're down to four or five of them. Num Hashem Elokei Yisrael. So too says Hashem, the God of Israel. That's what's going to remain. And the simple meaning is, from the country, there's going to be very few left. Chizkiyo and his group in Yerushalayim, the king Chizkiyo, the tremendous tzaddik, who's going to inspire everyone not to give up hope and to keep their trust in Hashem. And he'll be left, the olilos, the single solitary grapes, like those olives that are at the top of the tree, and Chizkiyo and his men will be left, and that's all that will remain. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, and Daf Tzadi Hey, Hamid Beis, says this is referring to Sancheiriv's forces. V'nishar bo, Sancheiriv will come and he'll be outside Emek Rephaim, but v'nishar bo from Sancheiriv's mighty army, he'll remain with Olelos. His army will be left with just a few, Kinokev Zayis, like the olive tree that's picked two and three, and on those flourishing boughs, four or five, and the Gemara in Sanhedrin has a number of different opinions exactly how many single soldiers remain from Sancheiriv's tremendous army. And so says Ne'um Hashem Elokei Yisrael, so says Hashem, who is the God of Israel. This is going to be done when Hashem shows himself as Elokei Yisrael, his Hashkacha, that Hashem has a special relationship and a special concern and guidance for what involves Eretz Yisrael and Klal Yisrael. And therefore, when Sancheirib is attacking Eretz Yisrael, it will be in this miraculous way that Ne'um Hashem Elokei Yisrael will be clear that Hashem Elokei Yisrael is saying this. Bayomahu, on that day, Yishe Ha'odam Aloseyu. On that day, man will turn Aloseyu to the one that made him. Ve'enov in his eyes, El Kadosh Yisrael Tirena. His eyes will see to the Holy One of Israel. That's where he'll look. He'll no longer look toward his idols, into what, which we'll see in a moment, but his focus, the way he'll turn to Hashem. The Malbim says, and I'm going to read a little bit of that Malbim. The Malbim says, Bayomahu, Hinei bein ovdei ho'alilim ho'yushtei kitos. There were two groups of idol worshippers, those who worshipped idols. Kat achas, the first group, hikrishu borei shemayim va'aretz legamri. They totally denied that there's a creator, there's a borei shemayim va'aretz, someone who created heaven and earth. They deny that. V'hoyu miyachsim hakol el ho'elil. And they ascribed all greatness and the creation, it all came from this idol, and they don't believe in Hashem. Hashem didn't make the world, they believe in this idol. That's one group. V'kara cheres hodu kinimse yotzer kol. There was another group that admitted there's a creator who made everything. Rakofru b'hashka choso. But they deny that Hashem supervises. V'amru, and they say, ozav Hashem es ha'aretz. Hashem abandoned the earth. L'memshala ha'kochovim. To be under the memshala of the stars. The stars and the planets, and Hashem set up the world to work that it's under their control. And they thought that this idol is going to be an intermediary. They agree that there's certainly a creator, Hashem made the world, but this idol is going to be a go-between. This idol will be a go-between. And through this idol, they will receive the Shefa from Hashem. In fact, the Rambam discusses, that's how the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchas Avodah Zarah discusses how idolatry began. It's been mentioned, I don't know if who gets the credit for this thought, but it's such a wondrous thing. I was sitting at the Shabbos table and just thinking. You know, there's certain divisions, units of time, or in the metric system, we work with 12, you know, with a dozen, 10, I mean, not a dozen. You work with 10, 100,000, or there's a dozen is a certain unit of time, but the number 7 is really not a unit used for any other significance. It's like an odd number, and it doesn't have a common, it's an integer that's not usually used in terms of a group, in terms of calculating. And like the whole world has an understanding that a week is 7 days. It's like a concept. Everyone knows the week somehow is 7 days. It's you know, there's a number of hints, and you can see that the whole world was aware that creation was 7 days, and even those that deny it, but it was somehow this understanding from the beginning that 7 days is the unit of time that makes up a week, the Shivas Yimei Bereishis, and that's something that the whole world follows, a seven-day week. But originally, everyone realized the world had a creator. But then afterwards, they figured, why should Hashem be concerned with what's happening down here? He gave every nation has their angel, which is true that the nations have their angel, and certain countries are under the control, but Hashem does notice, and Hashem is Mashgiach, and it's all, Hashem is controlling everything, and sees everything, and is aware of everything. The Ramban mentions in a number of places that Eretz Yisrael is special in that regard, that it's not under the control of any malach. It's directly HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Hashem Elokei HaShemayim VeElokei HaAretz. Elokei HaAretz is referring to Eretz Yisrael as special. There's an extra measure of Hashkocha on the land of Eretz Yisrael. But in a general sense, even though there are those that Hashem puts in charge, but Hashem is Mashgiach over all of this. And Hashem doesn't want you to worship the intermediary, but Hashem wants you to go directly to Him. Le'umazeh Omar, So, because of these idolaters who had these different ideas, that's why this pasuk stresses, Ki vayomahu, on that day, when finally Damesek and Aroer, and they'll be destroyed, on that day people realize the falsehood of idolatry. Ki vayomahu yasuru shtei akitus, there won't be these two groups anymore. As far as that first group, that believed that the world didn't have there's no creator, and that or the idol made it, not Hashem, it says, Bayomahu Yishe Ha'odam Aloseyu. On that day, man will turn to his maker, and he'll realize that there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who made him, who created everything, it's not the idol. And as far as the other mistake, that of course Hashem made the world, but there's an intermediary who's in charge, and they believe that Hashem is not supervising, and everything goes, there's Shefa, all of the funnel of blessing goes through an intermediary, and therefore they should worship the idol as an emtsoi. In terms of that, the pasuk continues, Ve'eno vel kedosh Yisrael tir'eno, where his eyes look, and what he's looking toward, where is the blessing coming from? Where does he expect to get the bounty? His eyes will be turned to Hashem and realize it doesn't come through any other means. There's no intermediary. It's all directly from Hashem. V'lo yisha el ha-mizbechos ma'ase yadov. And he will no longer turn to the mizbechos, the altars, ma'ase yadov that he made. This is, again, that first group that worship the idol because they feel the idol made them, and the idol's the power for such an idol. They made altars and they brought sacrifices to the idol. They won't do that anymore. V'lo yisha, they won't turn ala mizbechos ma'ase yadav. They won't turn to the altars that his own hands made. And in terms of looking to see where is the blessing coming, is there an intermediary? That's the second part of the pasuk. Basher osu etzba'osav lo yireh, what his fingers have made, lo yireh, he won't look to that. V'ho asherim, and the trees that were worshipped, v'hachamonim, and the sun, they made images of the sun. As a person, that was all part of this second mistake, that it could be there was a creator, but they worshipped the trees and they worshipped the sun, because after all, that's where the heat comes from, and the light and the energy. The sun is such a ball of fire and energy, and that's what powers the whole world, and the trees, the nature, and that's what gives us life. But they won't turn to that anymore. They won't turn to what their hands, their fingers made, and the Asherim and the Chamonim, and they'll realize that everything is only from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem is Mashgiach, and Hashem sees, and He controls, and if we worship Hashem, the sun and the trees and everything will produce and bring blessing. But we turn our focus and our pleas and our prayers only to Hashem. Bayomahu, on that day, Yiyu Ore Mo'uzo, the fortified cities of Yisrael will be Kazuvas HaChoresh, like the abandonment of the forests, the Ha'amir and the woodlands, where people don't, the forest is not the city, it's the forest, but it's abandoned, it's empty, it's not settled. And so too the fortified cities where people lived will now be like the abandoned forest, the Ha'amir and the woodland, Asher Ozmu Mipnei Bnei Yisrael, the places that were abandoned before Bnei Yisrael came, V'hoysa Shmoma, and their fortified cities will be desolate. As Rashi brings down, the other Mefarshim, that the Goyim, again we've mentioned this in the past, the Goyim, the Amori, when they heard that Bnei Yisrael was coming, they destroyed parts of the country and they left it abandoned, that when the Jews come, everything should be destroyed. As it worked out, we were in the Midbar for 40 years, and the Amori saw we're not coming so soon. So they moved back to their cities, and they once again rebuilt it. All the buildings were new, and everything was refurbished and fixed up, newly paved. And after the cities were all rebuilt, and they didn't destroy it so quickly, because they destroyed it once, and Bnei Yisrael didn't come. So this time they left it. And they left it, and when Bnei Yisrael came to Eretz Yisrael, everything was in pristine condition. But just like the cities Asher Ozmu v'Pnei B'nei Yisrael, that the Goyim abandoned from before the B'nei Yisrael, so too the fortified cities will also be abandoned. Yiu Arim Ouzo, the mighty cities, the fortified cities will be abandoned. It can also be the word Azuvas can also sometimes mean to be strengthened. There's a pasuk in Nehemiah, Perek Gimel, Vayazvu Yerushalayim ad Hachoma, they strengthened Yerushalayim up to the wall. The Malbim says, Bayomahu Yiu Arim Ouzo, the fortified cities of the B'nai Yisrael will be Kazuvas HaChoresh, like the fortified forests, the Ha'amir and woodlands. It says in Yoshua, in Perek Yud Zayin, the B'nai Yosef didn't have enough territory for their numerous people. And they came to Yoshua and they were saying there's not enough room for them. And they wanted to take over the forest. But the Goyim, there were Goyim in the valley that had iron chariots. And the end of Yoshua, Perek Yud Zayin. And they were told, don't worry, you'll cut down the forest, you'll have room, you'll take it over, and don't worry about the Goyim who seem to be so strong and so powerful. So you see at that point that it was their forests and their woodlands were strengthened, but and it'll end up being destroyed anyways. The fortified cities will be kazuvas hachoresh v'ha'amir, like the fortified forests and woodlands, asher ozmu mipnei b'nei Yisrael. The Malbim translates that they strengthened it because of b'nei Yisrael, and they wanted to prevent us from taking over these areas. But v'hoysa shmama, but even so, it's going to be destroyed, and their fortresses won't help. Ki shachachat elo. Hey Yisheich, because you've forgotten, the Navi says, because you've forgotten Elokei Yisheich, the God of your salvation, who's the one that saves Klal Yisrael, and you've forgotten Hashem. V'tzur mo'uzeich lo zachort, and the rock of your stronghold, lo zachort, you don't remember. Al-Kain, there's a difference actually between, before you get to the rest of the pasuk, between forgetting and not remembering. The Malbim says not remembering is something that if somebody can decide whether he wants to focus on something and when he wants to remember it, and he can decide not to remember it. He doesn't want to focus on it, he tries to keep it out of his mind. Forgetting is the type of thing that's beyond his control. As the Pasuk says, V'lo zochar sar hamashkim es Yosef v'yishkocheyu. The Sar HaMashkim, when Yosef was in the dungeon, in prison, and he told the Sar HaMashkim to remember me, the Pasuk says, V'ozochar Sar HaMashkim. The Sar HaMashkim didn't remember Yosef. That means he didn't try to focus on him, and he didn't make the effort to remember, and he didn't remember him. Then V'yishkocheyu, the next step was he forgot him. It wasn't even a question of him trying to bring it up in his memory. It was forgotten. Here also, Ki shachachat Elokei Yisheich, you're forgotten, Elokei Yisheich, the God of your salvation. That's totally forgotten. And Vetzur Mo'uzeich, the rock of your stronghold, that right now, the Tzur, the rock, that he is right now your Mo'oz, your strength. Lo Zachart, you don't remember, meaning you try not to keep it on your... You know Hashem is helping you right now, but you don't keep it on your thoughts and you try to remove it from your mind and you, lo zachort, you don't want to remember it. So if right now you're tzur ma'uzech, you don't try to remember, so the Elokei Yisheich, what happened in the past, the God of your salvation, who saved you in the past, that's totally forgotten. If you don't make Hashem on your thoughts right now, I assume the reason the Malbim explains it like this is, Yisheich is a salvation, is when a person goes through times of difficulty and Hashem saves him. We say in Shmon Esrei, Melech Ozer, the king who helps, Umoshia, and he's Moshia, he's saves us. The difference is Melech Ozer is on a constant day by day, minute by minute. Hashem is constantly Ozer, he's helping us. Then there are some points where the regular help doesn't seem to be enough. We're in such distress, We need the Moshiach, that Hashem comes and He saves us. He's the King of salvation. He's Moshiach. And then there's Umogein, he shields us and protects us, that there are many things that don't happen. We're protected and there's tragedies and suffering that very often don't affect us, and we're protected like with a shield. But there's the Ozer, the regular help, and then there's the Moshiach to save us when we're in a time of distress. Ki shachachad Elokei Yishech. You've forgotten the God Yishech of your salvation. And I assume the meaning of Yishech means to save you when you're in a time of distress, which is not a constant, but it's at those moments. And that's totally forgotten. You don't remember what happened in the past, how Hashem saved you. And the reason is because of Tzur Ma'uzeich, the rock of your strength, your ma'oz, your stronghold, lo zachart. You don't want to remember. Lo zachart is, again, you don't remember, you don't keep it on your mind. And therefore you forget the past. And Al Kain, it's not just what you're thinking of and what you're feeling, but it has your actions have become different. Al Kain Titi Nite Namonim. Therefore, Titi Nite Namonim, you had been planted as a pleasant ni'imus, a pleasant sapling. It's like Hashem were to plant a beautiful vineyard, a nice, tender, beautiful, pleasant sapling, Uzumora Zor Tizra Enu. But then you sow, you plant, you zeras, the seeds are Zamora Zor, like a strange shoot. Instead of Hashem planted you and cared for you and you were the one to serve Him, and instead you went to Avodah Zorah's and you didn't serve Hashem. And therefore Zamora Zor Tizra Enu, you're like sowed, planted with a strange shoot. Biyom Niteich Tisag Segi. On the day you were planted, you flourished. There was a lot of growth. Uva Boker, and in the morning, Zarech Tafrichi. And in the morning, your seed flowered like a perach. Zarech Tafrichi, your seed flowered. Neid Kotzir. But what's going to happen is Neid Kotzir, your branch is removed. Kotzir can mean a branch. Neid is like Nov and Nod. Neid Kotzir, your branch is removed. Biyom Nachla, on the day of affliction, of suffering, Ukaev Anush, an acute pain. There's going to be the suffering, there's going to be that punishment. You were such a tender, pleasant sapling. And then Klal Yisrael sinned and became involved with Avodah Zarah. And Biyom Niteich Tisag Segi, on the day that you were planted, you became great. Rashi brings down, the Novi Yecheskel says, Biyom Bochri Bi Yisrael, Hashem says, on the day that I chose Klal Yisrael, V'esa Yodi L'Zera Beis Yaakov, and I raised my hand to Klal Yisrael, and I became known to them in Eretz Mitzrayim, but Vayamrubi, Klal Yisrael rebelled against Hashem and they didn't want to listen. At the beginning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cared for us, but Klal Yisrael ended up doing wrong. Zmora Zor Tizra Enu. And then that morning, Biyom Niteich Tisag Segi, on the day that you were planted, you flourished. Uva Boker, and in the morning, after you left Mitzrayim, Zarech Tafrichi, your seed flowered. But Neid Kotzir, your branch will be removed, describing as a tree, the Biyom Nachla, on the day of affliction, Ucha'ev Anush, and acute pain. Hoy, the Novi says, woe, Hamon Amim Rabim, to the tumult of the many nations. Kahamos Yamim Yemoyun, they tumult there, as tumultuous as the tumult of the sea. Usha'on Le'umim, and the uproar of the nations, Kisha'on Mayim Kabirim, is like the uproar of the powerful waters, Yishon, and so too, there's this uproar. The Malbim explains every word has its own separate connotation. Hamon is a large tumult, it's a loud noise. A Shon, an uproar, is a it's bilti murgel. It's something that's unusual. It's not just a loud noise. It's something that's unusual. That's sha'un, a tumult. In terms of people, a goy means a group of people is called a goy. The word amim is when people are gathered together and they have a ruler. That's called an am. An am is not just a group of people who live in the same area, who are together. An am is people who have a ruler. In la'om, and to quote the words of the Malbim, la'om is a nation that has a das miyuchedes. In his Bir Hamilos, the Malbim explains, la'om is a nation that has a das miyuchedes. They have their own religion, their own laws. Ve'eze emuna asher titzarfeim. A la'om is somebody that has their own belief that joins them together. Lo mitzad ha'memshala. A la'om is not somebody who has a ruler that unites them, but they have their own beliefs and their own practices and their own way of life. That's the la'om. It's mitzad ha'emuna that they have an emuna achas. And he brings down what we're going to have in this week's parsha. U'la'om milom ye'emot. And it's such a beautiful explanation, that term la'om, that one nation, Esav and Yaakov, have the competition, the struggle for who's going to be have the upper hand. But the pasuk says, "Shnei goyim bevitneich, u'shnei la'umim mimeayach yiporeidu." You're going to have two la'umim separating from your stomach. And as the Malbim explains, la'um is not just a group of people, and it's not just a group of people with a ruler that have a single controlling power. It's people with a religion. It's like nowadays we see that. In other words, the competition between Esav, the Western civilization, there's not just a single ruler. It's the belief, the Christianity. It's the la'om. It's the religion. It's the struggle of the la'om milom yemutz. Which religion is going to have the upper hand? But the la'um is more encompassing than just an am. It could be many rulers together, joined together, and they're all united by a belief, but many countries can form one la'um. Hoi, wo, hamon amrim rabim. In Pasuk Yud Beis, there'll be a tumult from many amim, many nations. When Sancheiriv came, he conquered the country, and then he dragged their army along with his. And he had troops from many different lands that all joined his army. He had the Hamon Amrim Rabin. There was the tumult of many nations. Kahamos Yamim Yehemoyun. And they make a noise, a tumult, like a tumultuous sea, like the waters that come crashing and make a loud noise. But Sancheiriv's army was more than that. It was Usha'on. It was an uproar of the la'umim. They were all united with this belief, whatever, they're going to destroy Yerushalayim, but they're all the countries together, banded together with this goal. U'sha'on la'umim, and the uproar from the la'umim, from the nations, again, la'um, that they're all gathered together with the same belief, ki sha'on mayim kabirim, and it's an uproar like the mayim kabirim, not just there's a lot of people, but kabirim means powerful in the quality. They're strong, not just they're many, but they're kabirim, they're powerful. Yisha'un. And so too, they have this uproar, Sancheiriv's army. We had in the last perek, at the end of perek Tez Zion, it was talking about Moab. In the last few words, U'sha'or ma'ad mizar, there'll be very few of them left, lo kabir. They won't be powerful. They won't be strong. At that point, we also mentioned kabir is the strength, and the other words mean the number, the quantity, and kabir is the quality. And here, the sha'on la'umim, Sancheiriv's army, there's an uproar of the la'umim, like the sha'on mayim kabirim, like the powerful waters. There's many of them, and their quality is they're the greatest army, the greatest nation of the time. La'umim. These la'umim, kisha'on mayim rabim, they have an uproar like the many waters, yisha'un. They have an uproar like the many waters. But v'gar bo, Hashem is going to gar, as Lashon Yochid, there's one, there's going to be a shout, Hashem is going to gar bo, Hashem will roar at them, v'nos, and they'll flee. Mimerchak. And this rebuke, this garbo, is going to come from far away. As we know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends a malach, it's going to come Mimerchak from Shemayim. And Hashem is going to send the malach and strike the army of Sancheiriv. The garbo, Hashem is going to rebuke this army. The nos, and they're going to flee Mimerchak. Because of what's coming from far away, from an angel, it's not going to be forces down here that's going to destroy Sancheiriv. The Rudaf, they'll be pursued, Kimotz Horim, like the chaff of the mountains. Motz is the psoilus of grain, the stalk, the psoilus, the chaff that's valueless. Motz is not worth anything. It's the chaff, it's the garbage, it's what's the undesirable of the tevua, of the grain. But among the motes, if it's in the valley, it at least has a certain more dampness, a certain freshness, a moisture. If it's the motes hurim, it's dried out, it's on the top of the mountain. It's the least desirable of the least desirable. It's the motes of the hurim. Lifnei ruach, and it just gets blown by the wind on the top of the mountain. You have the winds blowing, and the motes hurim just gets blown away. And all of a sudden, you're going to wonder what happened to Sancheiriv's army. They're gone. They're like totally blown away. Uchegalgal lifnei sufa. And like the galgal, it's translated as the pollen, lifnei sufa, before a stormy wind. Rashi describes it exactly. It sounds like the pollen that's, I don't know, the weeds that you have like a parachute to it. If perhaps with the dandelions, you see them, the pollen, and it has... Rashi describes them like, in other words, but when it over hagia sof has samuch lesof hakayitz. Rashi says when it gets to the end of the summer, hemi snapsi me aleim. This type of weed just breaks off. Varuach mefazer, and the wind scatters it. Va'oso haniputz, and this, what's blown and scattered, osu kamin galgal. It's like a wheel. It's a tzagula round. Kamin ha'etz be'emtsa. It has like the center stalk. B'chomesh zera'os of Savivlo, and it has shoots coming out to the sides like a parachute, and it just gets blown by the wind. Besides the wind that's going to blow, the kemotz harim lifnei ruach, it seems Sancheiriv is going to have a natural way of being propelled even further, and his punishment's going to go beyond the malach, like a kagaga lifnei sufa, like this pollen that gets blown before the stormy wind, because Sancheiriv will be, his army will be wiped out by a malach. But Sancheiriv himself went back to his country, and then he went to the idol there, and he was bowing down to the idol, and he promised that if he'd be successful, he would bring his sons as a sacrifice. And they heard him say that, and they killed him. So he was kegagal lifnei sufa, besides the natural, the motz harim lifnei ruach, but he'll seem to be propelled even more, like the pollen that's before the sufa. Le'eis Erev, it'll be at evening time. Vinei Baloha, and there'll be confusion. There'll be a fright. Baloha is like the word Behola. Very often in Lashon HaKodesh, words Keves is Kesev, Simla, Salma. A lot of words are interchangeable. The letters are interchangeable for a certain meaning. But Le'eis Erev, here toward evening, Vinei Baloha, there's going to be a fright. B'terem Boker, before the morning. Einenu, he won't be. Sancheiriv's army is wiped out at night. Zechelek Shosenu, this is the lot of Shosenu, those that wanted to plunder and destroy Eretz Yisrael. To be Shoses, to destroy. Those that wanted to destroy, this is their chelek, this is their portion. V'gorol levozezenu, to be boze is a person who wants to take the spoils. He really has his own interests in mind. He's not out just to destroy, he wants it for his own good. But anybody who joined Sancheiriv, who joined the Shosenu, he's doing it the Bozazenu for his own plunder. But then it becomes his goral. He's thrown his lot in with the enemy, and it becomes his goral, his lot, his fortune in life, the Bozazenu, those that want to take our spoils, that they'll all be wiped out together with Sancheiriv's army.